Do you enjoy Thanksgiving? I love it because it reminds us corporately to give thanks. Now, we should be giving thanks for things each and every day in our lives. I know that, and you know that. But this gives us a chance corporately to give thanks. We've sung, "Give thanks with a grateful heart." And I'm going to give you a chance today for a little while. We did this during the first service too, to give thanks. Now, it may be something that you would think, well, anybody will say that or anybody knows that. That's okay. Or it may be something that is just unique to you. But I want to give you a chance. I think it's good for us. This morning we had a great time of just hearing from each other, giving thanks. People in the first service come from some very difficult backgrounds, addictions, and just tough stuff. And they're redeemed today, and they're giving thanks this morning. And so I want to give you a chance to give thanks this morning too. And like I said, it may be a very common thing that you think, well, everybody knows that already. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, you should say it. And it may be a very unique thing. Here's an example. I told the first service this little story. It may be very unique. How many have heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Have you heard of the movie The Hiding Place? Corrie Ten Boom, let me just say real briefly for those of you that don't know Corrie Ten Boom, her and her family helped smuggle Jewish people out of the Nazi Germany way and get them to safety. Well, eventually they were found out. Corrie and her sister Betsy and their parents all went to concentration camp. Betsy died there in time, and I can't remember. Maybe some of the rest of you, maybe the parents did too. I can't remember. But one day, Corrie and Betsy were in the concentration camp, and they were instructed, along with the other ladies that were in this barracks, take everything off, it's inspection time. So there they stood there, without anything on, for inspection. And of course their hearts were broken, they were humiliated. Corrie and Betsy, among others, absolutely loved the Lord. And Corrie began to cry out, "Lord, here we are in this shameful, terrible predicament." And as Corrie was crying out to God in her spirit, standing there in line, God's Spirit washed over her and said, "Corrie, my son Jesus stood naked and hung naked before the world too." Now most of you may think, yeah, but he had a loincloth on. We see that in all the pictures. Well, history reminds us that the loincloth was only for the painter's benefit. When the Romans crucified people, humiliation was the order of the day. And Jesus hung there too without anything on. And God washed through Betsy that day and said, "My son hung there in humiliation one day for you." And joy came over to Betsy, even in her predicament, and to Corrie. And Corrie whispered then to her sister Betsy, "Jesus went to the cross without anything on for us in humiliation too." And Betsy began to weep, and she whispered back to her sister Corrie, "I don't think I've ever thanked him for that." And so I wonder today, friends, if you have something unique, whether it's that unique or something very common, that you would be willing to share with us you're thankful for today. We'll take turns, and what we did in the first service, somebody just raised their hand, and I get to them after we got done. But speak nice and loud so everybody can hear you, because we want to rejoice and give thanks together today. Okay? I mentioned to you last week that Marie was in an accident trying to come home. She's with us today, still a little sore, but and now this week she goes to Pakistan to help Salek for a short period of time to minister to the people there. I'm thankful that she's willing to do that. And I am thankful for Salek, and he's a brother of ours and the ministry he's doing there. And anyway, not just everybody has got their hands raised and said, let me go to Pakistan and minister there to the folks. But Marie is going this week. Pray for her. I'm thankful she's willing to do it. Another person said this morning, I'm thankful for my adult son who's sober. A lot of us don't understand that. But when you live with addictions, or there's addictions in your house, then you know what she's talking about. This next February, which is not that far away, we will hear from Minnesota Teen Challenge again, because on the 15th, I think it is, they will come here, and I'm pretty sure they're going to come into the new sanctuary on the new stage, and Teen Challenge will tell us again how God is setting them free from addictions. We're going to get to hear that firsthand again. I think it's February 15th they're coming. But some of us don't get that because we've been a little more sheltered than that. But I can understand this woman because I know her son and I know some of our stories. And when she says, I'm so thankful today for my adult son who is sober, I know what she's talking about it. And I said, I rejoice and thank God with you. Another person this morning said, with hands held high, he in praise and thanksgiving to God, he said, I have been through some very serious cancer, and through all the treatments and everything, I only have 10 teeth left, but the cancer is gone. And he give God praise and glory. And so there's many things to be thankful for. And I know there was people here in the first service, one of them that just lost their niece in a car accident this week. Others that were struggling with other things. Some of you have parents or our loved ones, or we have our friends right here in church dying of cancer. And so at this time of the year, sometimes you say, well, it gets a little hard for me to give thanks because I'm going through thus and thus. But when we know the Master, as Linda said, there is salvation to be thankful for. There's the hope of heaven to be thankful for. And there's that the presence of the Holy Spirit that guides us through tough times to be thankful for. And so even when we hurt, and if you've just lost a loved one, and I know some of y'all have, and some of our church family over the last 2 years has, holiday season isn't much fun. But then we remember Jesus and the love of God. Thank you, Lord, for being with me. Amen. 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 Anybody else thankful for prayer? Prayer works. And so it's good for us to spend time in prayer. I told a story this morning about Samaritan's Purse delivering shoeboxes into the uttermost parts of the earth. I have seen pictures, and I told you this before, but not everybody heard this. I have seen pictures where a Samaritan's Purse worker is literally handing a shoebox through a manhole cover into the sewers of Rio de Janeiro, because that's where the children live. Homeless children get cast off like second-hand shoes or something, and they live and survive in the streets, but many adults think they're a nuisance, and so they just kill them. So they go underground to stay alive. They fend for themselves. They live out of the dumps and the sewers. And I have literally seen pictures of a Samaritan's Purse employee or worker, volunteer, handing shoeboxes into the sewers of South America. I told that story the first service, and one little bitty fella sitting right over in here said, I'm thankful them kids in the sewer got a present. And so, friends, we've got much to be thankful for in America. Oh, there's some things we'd rather wish they were different. But we've got some things to be thankful for. I am going to share a little bit with us, but if you're feeling compelled, I just need to say thanks. You just go ahead and raise your hand, and when I look up, I'll see it, and I'll give you a chance. Okay, is that fair? All right, let me read you a little story. I was reading in Voice of the Martyrs magazine the other day, and it said this: every month, more than 400 Christian leaders from Vietnam's various tribal groups travel to secret locations for training. These are Christians scattered around the country of Vietnam, traveling to Christian training so they can be effective witnesses for Christ. Okay, the story goes on. These men and women live in villages where the foreign religion, that's Christianity, where the foreign religion is deeply opposed by the local authorities. But these people have found true hope in following Christ, and they want to teach others. So, for 4 days every month, they receive training at a Voice of the Martyrs supported seminars developed by longtime Vietnamese Christian workers. During the course of the training, the students take a break, during which time they are required to share the gospel with at least 30 people in order to continue the second half of their training. Do you see the picture, friends? These are people that are coming out of communism or whatever else into a relationship with Jesus. And in their training, they're asked to tell more people about Jesus, but they're despised for doing it. And so, the goal is each student to create a new core group of Christians who will then learn how to follow Jesus. Now, here's the conclusion. Here's the climax. Though the students are beaten, pressured by family members, and expelled from their villages, they continue to share about the one who led them out of darkness into the light. I don't know about you today, friends, but I am thankful that God has sent us the light. Amen? In Matthew, first of all, back in Isaiah, 650 years before Christ, Isaiah said, there's going to be a great light. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew writes this down for the Jewish people to understand that prophecy from Isaiah 650 years before has come to a reality with Jesus. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus had heard that John had been put in prison. He departed from Galilee, leaving Nazareth, came into the region of Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Why? That it might be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah when he spoke, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, these people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Isaiah predicted it, he prophesied it, Matthew wrote it down, because the light has came into the world. He also said, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. I just I've just been thinking about this the last few days as I was thinking about Thanksgiving and the hundreds of things that I'm thankful for. And I wanted just to select a couple today. And one of them is, I am thankful today that God has sent us the light. Now, we may think that everything is perfectly light. The sun comes up or we hit the light switch on. But if we still remain in darkness, it's really not light. And God sent to us His Son, His one and only, so that we had a chance to come into the light. And these people in Vietnam, they are going about the country, they are being trained, they are going about to other places and villages, and they are telling others the good news of Jesus. Why? Simply because they are so thankful, they want to continue to share about the one who led them out of the darkness into the light. They want to tell people the good news. John 12:46 says it this way. These are the words of Jesus. I have come as a light into the world. And whoever, this morning we had testimonies, a biker guy was here who didn't give us too much of his testimony, but I know what it is. And he just shared with us, he was thankful that God was patient with him in his, well, let's say less than reflecting Christ years. And there was another sister back here in the back who come out of a very difficult lifestyle, very challenging lifestyle. Very worldly, and she told us her story one night, so I'm not going to repeat it now. But these people and others were here saying this morning, they were so thankful that God was patient with them in their years of darkness. And finally, somebody come along and pointed them to the light. We had testimony after testimony this morning, very short, but saying, I'm thankful that God was patient. I'm thankful that He doesn't give up on me. When I was walking in the darkness, I was introduced to the light. And Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come as the light of the world, and whoever believes in me. Did you know no one has to remain in darkness? I'm thankful about that today, friends. Because if we remain in darkness and the end comes, or the end of my life comes, not going to be with the Lord forever. I'm thankful that He has come as the light. And the light is available to all people. No one has to remain in darkness. John 1 says in 4 through 9, in Him, that's Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. I'm thankful for the light today. I'm thankful that God loved us enough to send us Jesus, the light in a dark place. Going on in John 1, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I want to ask you today, this morning, friends, have you comprehended the light? Have you comprehended the light? You see what John is saying here? He came to His own people. He came as light into the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend the light. You say, well, Jim, I know about God. Good. Have we comprehended the light of Jesus? Have we comprehended the love of God that would send the light to us in darkness so that we don't have to remain in the darkness but can step into the light? The Bible says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I wonder today, have we comprehended the light of Jesus? Oh, it's so good. These people in Vietnam, they've comprehended, they've stepped into the light, and they want others to know about Jesus and at least give them a chance to step into the light. Verse 6, same chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That happens to be John the Baptist, if you were wondering. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John the Revelator writes about John the Baptist when he says, he was not the light, but was sent bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. John the Revelator writes about John the Baptist saying, he was the forerunner, he was the messenger, he was the one that bore witness to said, he's coming. The light is coming. And I'm just thankful today, friends, that God has given us the light. I'm just thankful that he's given us the light of Jesus. Don't we just know when we stepped into the light? Anybody? Don't we just know? We have stepped out of darkness into the light. It's good news. Amen? You're not sleeping on me, are you? When we step into the light, it's good news, friends. It's eternally good news. And God has sent us the light so that we might step into the light by faith in Christ and be illuminated and be part of His kingdom and walk with Him both now and forever. It's good news when we step into the light. And we just know we've stepped into the light. We had several testimonies this morning. I have stepped into the light, and I'm so thankful that God was patient with me. I'm so thankful for His grace. I'm so thankful He didn't give up on me. I have now stepped into the light. And I'm thankful today, brothers and sisters, that God has sent the light. Praise be to God. You remember the song that our praise team leads us in every now and then? My chains are gone. I've been set free. That is stepping into the light. My chains are gone. I've surrendered completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My chains are gone. I've been set free. That is what John is talking about here. And that's what Jesus said when he said, I have come as the light, that whoever believes in me should not abide any longer in darkness. That's stepping into the light. Let me share one more thing I'm real thankful for today. I got 100 things, but I'll save a couple for next week. I was reading also in this Voice of the Martyrs magazine, in southern India, there's pastors there that serve as point people. There's a specific pastor, Voice of the Martyr names him. I won't, because this goes onto the webpage, and it can be listened to anywhere around the world. But anyway, this pastor in southern India serves as a point person for a network of 6,000 pastors. I get heartburn with overseeing 4. You know what I'm saying? This guy is a point person for 6,000 pastors who respond to the persecution as it occurs there in India. As one of the frontline workers, he also provides discipleship training and Bibles. Do we not sometimes take this for granted? Well, we got a couple, 3 of them around home. Not sure where it was last, but we take this book for granted. Listen to what life is like there. Last year, this pastor facilitated the distribution of 10,000 Bibles in 11 districts, where the 4% Christian population faces heavy opposition. Some believers have never owned a Bible. They can't afford one. In one remote village, a church with 12 families was sharing one Bible. The pastor had it, and he was passing it around to the 12 families in the congregation. Each family would get it for 2 days. When the 2 days was up, goes on to the next family. 2 days was up, goes on to the next family. That's all the scripture they got. And for 2 days, they gobbled it up because they know 48 hours, I've got to pass it on, and I won't have it again. And so, other pastors and Christians needed new Bibles because they had been destroyed by radical activists. Some of those, listen to me now, friends, some of those who had received these Bibles had been fasting and praying for a Bible for 2 and 3 years. We've got them laying all over. I thank God we do. We can pick it up any old time and read it. I hope you do. I read mine every day. I love it. Don't know much about it yet. I'm hoping to learn someday something about it. They prayed and fasted for 3 years so that they might have the Word of God. I'm thankful today for the Word of God. One old brother said that this morning. He had heard a message on a Christian TV or something, radio maybe, this morning. And it said that very thing, how the pastor, I believe it was Pastor Stanley, said how he was thankful for the Word of God. So that old gentleman said he was thankful. Friends, let's not take this greatest of gifts for granted. Let's read it. Let's absorb it. Let's learn from it. Let's allow it to mold us into the followers of God that He would have us to be. When I think of people around the world that are fasting and praying for the Word of God, oh, I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful I got a bunch of translations. I can pick them up and I can read them and I can enjoy them. I hope that you're thankful